Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, joined by the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. And Brett, as always, you have the honor, and it truly is an honor, to introduce today's guest.
Well, we have an awesome guest. He is a drummer, an amazing drummer, drummed with Black Sabbath, Ozzy, Alice, Rob Zombie, you know, too many names to mention practically. He is currently promoting his new Tommy's Rock Trip album, Beat Up by Rock and Roll. Tommy Clefetos, how are you?
I'm doing excellent, but I'm getting better by the minute, gentlemen. How are you?
That's great. I mean, we're truly happy to be speaking to you. I mean, you're awesomely talented and playing with some amazing people. So, and you've got a wickedly awesome rock and roll album. So it doesn't get much better than that.
Hey, gentlemen, I knew I liked you from the start.
I knew I was going to like the album as soon as I saw the title. I thought that's one of the best titles I've ever heard.
Okay, I like it. Good. I'm glad you dig it.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the thing that I love about it is that it's got such a great straight ahead rock and roll sound. But more so, it's funny because I can tell that this was an album put together by a drummer because the drums are so great and there. But it's not like you're over drumming on the album, it feels like.
It's definitely not a drum record, and it's definitely not a musician record, which I want people to be aware of. If they've ever seen me play, I don't think you can say I'm a very drumistic drummer. I'm more about playing in a band. So this is more just a rock band record, you know. I'm not into muso stuff at all. In fact, I hate that kind of stuff. You know, I don't play for musicians, I play for chicks, you know. you want girls to boogie up there. You don't want to play for a bunch of sterile musicians. At least that's me anyway, you know.
I never thought of musicians as being sterile, but you know.
at the age of all of us, we're getting there.
Probably would have been better if more of them were, but you know,
I think that. Yeah, I'm just saying that, you know, I don't play music for music magazine polls, or, you know, I don't do it for that. I come from playing in clubs and trying to make people dance and drink alcohol, and I come from a different school. So I wanted to parlay that into my own music. You know, that's really where I learned playing music, was, you know, basically on the street playing clubs from the ground up. So I come from a different thing. I'm not really a schooled musician. I didn't go to Berklee College of Music. I don't, you know, as much as I love music and I revere it, I think some of that education stuff can kind of ruin great rock and roll. So there's the book side of music, and then there's the side that I come from, which is hopefully using your head and your heart and sex and fun and like emotions to play music, versus, you know, like scales and exercises.
Well, it's funny because, sorry, but in the Canadian movie Hardcore Logo, there's a song that's called Rock and Roll is Fat and Ugly, and that's just kind of how I, you know, pictured this whole thing. You know, it's just it's good.
No, because it's like totally, it's totally maybe that's Canadian rock and roll. American rock and roll is skinny and beautiful and sexy and sleek. Well,
there is the old expression, it's good enough for rock and roll, right? Which means, in other words, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be real. And that's well, what you capture.
Yeah, I mean, perfect ruins rock and roll when you try to be perfect. What does that mean? You know, the Rolling Stones, it's definitely not technically perfect, but it's emotionally perfect. You know, they have this perfectly sloppy, tight, slinky thing they got going on that's perfect. You know, they don't all end together, but it makes perfect sense at the end of the day. That's kind of what, you know, it goes back to blues. You know, you could hear a John Lee Hooker, you know, he does the changes when he feels like it. It's all feel, and there's a beautiful thing about that. You know, music is supposed to be about feeling and creating emotion and conveying those emotions to people. You know, I'm not a blues musician, but I love the blues, and I like to have a degree of that in my music. And I think you can hear that in the record that I made. There's Detroit music, which is where I come from, always has a tinge, whether it's Motown or the MC5 or Bob Seger or Ted Nugent or Iggy Pop. You know, there's always some kind of underlying blues influence in there. And I grew up heavily on that. So I wanted to hopefully bring some of those ingredients that I love about my favorite kind of music into music that I created on my own.
So then what made you finally decide to make this album and right now, say?
Because there was nothing else going on and I was bored to all hell. And I felt like making music. That being said, this worldwide shutdown presented me with this block of time and opportunity that I have never been awarded in my life to maybe do my own, see what could happen. So I had this block, you know, I'm always working for somebody else or always focusing on another tour or which I love and I hear it and I love it. And I totally get filled. But during this shutdown, there was nothing going on and I wanted to make some music. And I almost looked at it as a little experiment for myself to see if I was up to the task, because I had never written a song before. I had never written lyrics before. I had never arranged my own songs. I had never put together my own band. I had never done any of this. So it was all, even though I've done a lot, that side of it was kind of new to me. So I wanted to kind of see if I could do it as a challenge. So I accepted the challenge because I had that time to do so.
So what is the process you use then to write songs? How did you go about it?
I got in a room with a guitar player and I literally would sing the parts to him that I wanted. And we would just jam them out. And I would say, no, do this. No, it needs to modulate here. No, we're going to extend the song. You know, it was just a lot of arduous kind of crafting. And we would jam. I'm sitting here in my jam room where I play drums every day. And I've got the whole shebang set up. We came in here and rehearsed it, you know, like bands are supposed to do, you know, and the way we rehearsed the album with amps and drums in one room is exactly the same way we recorded the album. We went in the studio and there was no headphones. Even. I was using just the in-room sound of my drums to hear my drums. There was no click tracks, no technology. So it has a very live feel because it's totally live. And that's the one thing that I was adamant about. All my favorite records were recorded that way and have that sound. So I wanted to see if I could create something that was tight, yet loose, yet dynamic and moved and rock and rolled, you know, in that sort of fashion. So I wanted to record it that old way without the help of all that technology. Because some of that technology can take away from the musicality of it. You know, when you have less tools to choose from, you kind of tend to have to get a little more creative with what's going on. When they recorded old jazz records back in the day, there may have been one microphone. So people had to stand different places in the room to mix each other. You see what I'm saying? So it took that type of musicality. And I wanted to kind of take that approach. It wasn't that bare bones, but, you know, it was maybe turn down your amp. Oh, maybe I got to lighten up on the crash cymbal to, you know, it was maybe a little more of that playing musically together to get the take versus doing it after the fact.
So at what point then do you start thinking of the lyrics? Or this, is it as you're sitting there jamming? Are you in the back of your mind, you're starting to think of lyrics, or is it kind of, you know, something that once you have the full tune, you sit down and then you write them?
Well, maybe going into knowing that I had to write some songs, I would hear like a phrase or come up with a phrase and maybe that would be a title. But I didn't write lyrics until after the music was done and I really had to cram it in. I would get home from the studio and write the lyrics for the three songs we did that day. I'm able to sing lyrics. It was really a creepy pressure. I have to get something done. So I kind of did them right after the song was done because that was the only way I knew how to. I had to listen to it in succession and over and over. And maybe I started with a title, but then it went from there.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Eric Dover, like been listening to him since the Jellyfish days. So how did how did he come in and everybody else?
Eric came in because I knew Eric. We played in Alice Cooper's band together. I believe it was 2004. And I always admired Eric's talent. He's a great singer. He is a great guitar player too, but I always revered his vocal. He has a unique sound and timbre to his voice. And he's kind of he's way more artsy than I am in his approach. And I kind of like a little of that. You know, we always kind of like things that maybe we're not. And I thought, as much as he's artsy, he tends to do a little more artsy music than me. I think he's a great rock, straight ahead rock singer. And you can hear this on the album. He can scream his ass off. And I used him up as much as I could. And he did an awesome job.
And then, of course,
we got along great in the studio. He's a really good studio creative guy. You know, all I had to do was say, sing this, and here's the words, and here's the melody. And it was very easy for him to do, which is a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely a skill.
Not everybody can translate your ideas into what you want to hear.
Now, I mean, you also sing on three of the tracks. So then was that like always by design?
Don't hold it against me, please. it was definitely not by design. The only reason it happened was I was doing scratch vocals, which scratch vocals are kind of like a guide vocal for somebody to learn the parts. And I would send over a quick scratch vocal. Maybe I'm just humming the melody because I didn't have the lyrics yet or something. And the three tunes that are on the album are just scratch vocals. And I kind of liked how they came out. So I just said, just leave it, you know. And on top of that reason, there's a song called Make Me Smile, which I ended up singing, that I wrote about my beautiful, sexy, wonderful wife. And I go, well, I gotta sing that song. I have to, or it's not coming from the heart. And there's a song called The Power of Three, which is about my daughter and my family. We call it The Power of Three. And I had to sing that song. So it kind of just worked out that way. I said, why not?
So did you feel, I guess, like, are you uncomfortable then as a singer?
I mean, I'm definitely not a singer, and this is not any kind of career change, but I thought, why the hell not? You know, it was more of a gift to my wife to have that song being me singing it, and it was a gift to my daughter. So for that reason alone is kind of why I ended up to do it. I wasn't uncomfortable because I did it so nonchalantly, sitting on a couch, not knowing that it was going to be on the record. But I liked what I heard, so I said, screw it, you know. Rock and roll, you kind of just got to go F it sometimes. If it works and it sounds okay to me, if I enjoy it, then I'm happy with it. If people also enjoy it, then I'm also very happy with it. That being said, when I listened to the whole record, after it was finished and I listened to the whole record, it's kind of a nice little breakup for the ear to have somebody else on it. But I'm no singer, and I'm no comparison to anybody else. I'm a drummer through and through. But it was fun to get to do it, and it's very fun. My daughter loves the song, and my wife loves the song. So I'll totally embarrass myself for the rest of my life just for them.
Well, I mean, that's as great a reason as any. And honestly, yeah. Like, I really like the songs, and I think that they do fit really well into the album. So, I mean, I don't think there is a drop off of any sort in there.
Good. Drop off. I hate no drop offs allowed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, and that's it. There's no drop offs on this album. It's just straight ahead. You started, I mean, with the awesome like drumming, and then it just goes full throttle from there.
It's pretty breakneck, I would say. There's not a slow song on the album. But there's some groovy stuff, and there's some funky stuff, and there's straight ahead rock stuff, and there's some bluesy stuff. It's all my favorite kind of stuff wrapped up into me doing it is all it is, you know. And it's not Sgt. Pepper's, and I don't take it too seriously. It's just me trying to make some good music on my own for a change, and kind of I just wanted to make a cool, fun little rock record. You know, the way I look at it, I kind of took the approach of, you know, there's great bands like Aerosmith, but then Joe Perry made some cool Joe Perry project albums. And then there's the Rolling Stones, but Keith Richards made some very cool expensive winos albums.
Yeah.
There's nothing, my music doesn't compare to theirs, but I wanted to kind of take that approach of, you know, it's cool, but it's not too serious. And it's kind of a sidestep to what they normally do.
How many songs in total did you write for the album?
I wrote 12. There's 11 on the album, and then one is for a Japanese version, and all 12 we used, and I didn't write one single one more. That was it. What it was going to be on the album, that was it. It's like throw it at the wall and whatever's going to happen. Because I kind of go that way. I got to make it stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. What about, you know, some of the people you've worked with, some of these legendary people? Did you take any songwriting hints or anything like that from anybody?
I'm sure all that kind of stuff seeped in. But one of the most, the thing that I really, the attitude that I want to went in with was just do the best that you can in the moment. Because to me, recording is just I was very into it. I can't help but get into music when I'm involved. Even if it's a rehearsal, I just get amped up and I get passionate about it. So before I started recording, I mean, I don't take it too seriously. You kind of got to not care, but really care at the same time, if that makes sense. It's like a fine line. You don't want to overdo it and rethink everything. So if it felt good to me at the moment, I just moved forward with it. And that I've learned from a lot of great artists is kind of just do it and go for it. And then it is what it is, you know?
So obviously this is really fulfilling for you. I mean, we can hear that in your voice, the passion you're talking about the project. Does that mean that you want to or think you will again do more solo albums in the future?
I don't know what the future holds, to be honest with you. I'm passionate about my craft, and that's music. So if I'm playing, you know, in front of 20 people, I'm probably going to somehow get animated about it. I can't help it. And I get involved when I say I'm going to do a record and I sign on to do it. I get passionate about it because that's where I'm going at that moment is all it is. It's not that I'm more involved in this than I would be working with somebody else. You know, at that moment, it gets 110% of my attention.
So besides the obvious like differences, like what is the main difference between like Tommy the live drummer and Tommy the studio drummer?
For this record, I would say not much. I really want to bring the band, to make the band be the best it can be at that moment and create music that makes the hair on your arm stand up. So hopefully I wanted to get great grooves on this record, and I feel I did that. I think there's some really good rock drumming. Not where it's overplaying, but there's some stuff where you go, ooh, this is making my head bob, you know? And I want to do the same thing live. And I want the musicians on stage to feel they can trust me when they're playing with me. So they can go, you know, if I'm playing with Ozzy, I want him to feel so comfortable that he doesn't have to look back or feel shaky on stage. To me, that's the drummer's job, you know? So I wanted to play great rock and roll drums and let the songs come through in the studio. I want to play great rock and roll drums live and make the songs come off live and the performance come off. To me, a drummer is like, it's like the bond. It's the glue that lets everybody else do the icing on the cake. And I like that about what I do. You know, I want to make the bands that I play with be the best they've ever been.
You find that you know, as you work with Ozzy and Rob and stuff like that, like, are they giving you the freedom to be the drummer that you want to be?
Absolutely. That being said, I'm very conscious of finding what is special about this artist and knowing what they want. You know, you always kind of got to do your homework ahead of time. So I know what Rob wants. I know what Ozzy wants, and I'm free to do basically whatever I want within in their style. And most of that is me putting the, you know, those parentheses around what I consider their style, you know.
Yeah,
I don't like to play things that make people go, you know, whenever I'm on stage and I never want to play a thing that goes, oh, I need to get this lick out today. I never do that. In fact, if I think that way, I'm never going to play it, you know. But that being said, if it's a musical thing and something is played on stage that makes you react, you also got to be willing to go there because that's called creativity. But you don't want to come from a selfish place, you know. So I try to think more old school and just play for the song and play what's going to make this band sound great, not me get attention. Two different things.
Now, I mean, obviously you've worked on so many projects. Like, do you just find up until the pandemic hit, do you just find that there was a constant desire for your services?
No, it's always on my end, it's always been an uphill battle of survival to me. Cause I've been doing it for a little bit now and I started from the ground up. You know, I started playing very young in clubs, four sets a night, six nights a week. Nobody's there. And then this and then that. And somebody sees you and somebody sees you. So, I mean, I always feel like I'm clawing to survive. That being said, I'm very fortunate and very lucky, but I enjoy the struggle of it. You know, the journey. I don't really, it's not a struggle, but it's a journey. We all have our ups and downs, but I wasn't born with rich parents or famous parents or anybody, you know, it was just me playing my best and trying to get to the next thing, to lead to the next thing and take it as it comes and always playing your best every chance you got the opportunity to be on stage. I consider it a very sacred thing, what I do, and very important to me. And it's not a job, but it is my craft. So I put a lot of effort into it. It's my responsibility to be the best that I can and take care of myself and provide for my family. And it's very serious. That being said, I don't think it's any more important than anything else. I'm just a drummer and it's just a fun, cool thing that I get to do, but it is what I do for a living. So I take it very seriously.
So what type of things do you do then physically to keep yourself in proper shape for drumming?
Put it this way, I was up before you this morning.
I believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I take care of myself. I eat well. I try to eat well. I exercise well. I stay up on my drumming. You know, I keep my mind clear. I try to stay away from as much BS as I can about this music business. And, you know, it's just trying to just, you know, life throws enough at you as opposed to giving yourself a bunch of pitfalls. And I don't drink at all. I'm not a smoker. I've never done drugs in my life. You know, if you do or whoever does, that's up to them. But I always looked at it as, why put these roadblocks in front of me? It's difficult enough for me to try to survive and, you know, get to the next level. So those things, I'm not into doing things that maybe will take away from my chance at success.
Yeah,
speaking of success, everybody has a different take on what success is. To me, I've been successful since I was a little boy because I always gave it my all. I always worked hard. I always did the best that I could at the moment. And I still do the same thing. So I've always been successful. Am I driving a Lamborghini or walking around the red carpets? No, but that's not my thing. You know, I have my family. We have a roof over our heads. We got two nice cars in the driveway and the bills are paid and groceries are in the fridge. So that's very successful to me.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I love it. I love your definition of success because just like I love the album, I mean, it's the same to me. Like they're both very, you know, straight ahead working, you know, realistic things. And I think that it all kind of ties together.
I mean, it's how I was raised. It's how I was brought up. My uncle was a musician. My father was a musician. And those two guys basically were my biggest influences musically in my life. So where I come from, is very important to me, and values all comes into play with my whatever success I've had in the music business, all listening to the people around you. I'm not too concerned about, you know, what other people have to say, because there's always people are going to say bad things about you. There's always people who are going to say great things about you. If you're going to listen to the bad things, you got to listen to the great things. So I just listen to the three or four people, my wife, my dad, the people that I trust, and the few musical peers that I trust to guide me, you know, besides my own instincts.
Now, I know we're almost out of time. I just want to ask you, like, do you think that you'll wind up taking this Tommy's Rock Trip out on tour at all?
Hey, there's a song on my album called You Got the Cash, I Got the Flash. So that should say everything. Now, it would be fun too. There's no plans to do it. We'll just see what happens. I think I don't know if you guys happen to see the video that we did for the first tune that we put out, but that's kind of a take on what a gig would be like of my thing. And I think it would be kind of cool.
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, I love the album. I think it's awesome. I think you're awesome. But before we go, I want to give you the chance to tell everybody how they can find Tommy's Rock Trip and how they can keep up with you.
You know what? I think the record company made some Tommy's Rock Trip social media sites. But other than that, I'm not involved in any of this social media stuff. It's too much for me. I'm not a computer person. I'm too old school, and I like my privacy. But you can go check out on the record label Frontiers site and go buy the album if you're at all interested. If you spend your hard-earned money on it, I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you kind of get an hour, 50 minutes from the pressure of life taken away from you. And if you don't, that's cool too. Guys, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for taking the time to talk about some of my music. It's been a pleasure. And I wish everybody out there health and happiness. And we get through this mess of a time that we're in. I just got my second vaccine shot yesterday.
Woo-hoo.
So you can cough on me now.
Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate every minute of it.
Tell Whitey we're coming.
That's all right. Yeah, Whitey Kirsch. Well, I'll talk to him. Great guitar player. Talk about a rock and roll. I mean, he is overdosed on rock and roll, literally.
That's awesome.
You'll see what I mean if you talk to him, but what a killer guitar player. He's like Reckless Abandon guy, and I love every note of it.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Tremendous.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Tommy. Thank you. All right. Bye now. All the best. Bye now.
Good day.